The reading tonight is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 33, and this can be found on 1176 of the Church Bibles. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good evening. Can everybody hear me and see me okay? I'm just going to manoeuvre myself without breaking this. Oh. Right. Shall we pray? Father God, as we come to learn more about your word, more about your relationships and love for us, and your lovely, wonderful church, may it speak to us individually. Amen. As you heard from Linda a little while ago, I thankfully managed to avoid that verse, the verse where we had to talk about women submitting to their husbands. That was not something I really was looking forward to. In fact, I did speak to Karis about it, and she said, "Oh, don't worry." She said, "You could never love me as much as Jesus loves the church." And then proceeded to tell me how I could never keep my bargain. So I think we're all off the hook on that one. But of course, I didn't dare ask why. But when I think about these verses, it's quite a challenge to work out. When we look at this whole passage, it's quite a challenge to work out what we're kind of Paul is telling us. Is Paul talking about our relationships with our wives, husbands and partners? Or is he talking about the church? In fact, I think it's really clear that Paul is talking about both. He's talking about both our relationships, our healthy relationships, our healthy church, and of course how they are symbolic of each other. And as I prepared this talk, I read quite a few sermons. And most of the sermons that I read either concentrate on healthy relationships or healthy relationships on church, and they never talk about both. Well, I'm going to try tonight, so I hope it's all right. So we're going to start with the first verse. We're going to start verse 25. So if you've got your Bibles, I'll be referring to them during the talk. You may have it on the phone. So the verse says this: "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." So in the opening verse, Paul is giving us a clear instructions, not only to love our wives, but to love our church as much as Christ does. Throughout the Bible, God often uses marriage as an example of loving relationships that he has with us. And of course, we have his son to embody that. Now, I don't know, some of you are aware that Karis and I have now been nearly married a year. Doesn't seem 5 minutes ago, Karis and I were standing on this spot, exchanging vows. It's just gone so quickly. I can honestly say the last year has just been great. It's been really, really good fun. But of course, there's been challenging times. Like, just trying to live together. I forgot that we had a dishwasher. So I just tended to leave my washing by the sink. It took a while for it to sink in. and various conversations from Karis that really there is a dishwasher that I need to learn to use. But it's not so much about learning to live together, is it, within relationships, especially new ones? It's about finding time to spend together. Or Karis and I like to call quality time. But that's very difficult, isn't there, when we've got lots of distractions within our lives, within our homes, whether it's children, whether it's work, whether it's a house to keep clean. Well, in my case, I have a dog, but we will be talking about her a little bit later on. So how do we maintain our relationships? How do we grow our love for one another? How do we maintain that? For Karis and I, it's about spending time together. And we have this rule that the kiddies will go off to bed at 7 o'clock sometimes. But we will try and spend at least 30 minutes every day eating our food. Just spending that time. We try to go for weekends away. We try to go sailing. But this is a question that we have to ask ourselves in our own relationships. What do we do to nurture, to love, to honour our marriages, our relationships? And it's really important that we try and work out what we do, how we build on our relationships, how we make it more and more solid over the years. Because I'm sure over times, you will have to demonstrate different things within our relationships. I know I do, or try to. So we have to demonstrate patience, compassion, forgiveness, kindness, obedience, although I struggle with that, and generosity. But the one thing that holds us all together, the one thing that glues all our relationships together, is love. But when I look back at that list that we had, it makes me think of our church. Paul tells us that we need to love the church as much as our partners. It's no good loving our partner more than our church or loving the church more than our partner, because it will never really grow. It will never really blossom. It will never really fulfill its full potential. And I think the answer is a very personal one. It may well have different meanings to different individuals. For some people, you may love God, but you may not love the church. God is perfect, the church isn't. It may be that you love the church, but you don't particularly love God. I'm sure that's a situation that we've probably experienced in our lives, where there's times that we have to really question or have questions, whether it's because of good things or bad things mainly, whether do we actually love God? But like relationships with our partners, there are times that we have good times, there are times that we have bad times. There's times that we bicker, there's times that we disagree, not just within our own relationships, but also within the church. There may be even times that we don't particularly like each other. Again, whether it's in our relationship or whether it's actually within the church. And it's that important time that we take a step back. It's very hard taking a step back when you're in the middle of real tough stuff. But it's really important we try and learn to take a step back to see the whole picture, to see the wood for the trees. Because when we do that, when we peel it all back, we find at the very heart of all of this is love. And when we think about love of the church, I found this picture, and it's a great picture. And it, for me, it really sums up the church and our relationships. What we've been talking about is relationships. Whether it's relationship with our partners, or between us, or our church. And as that picture says, at the centre of that, within our marriages, is Jesus, and with that comes love. But we can only develop our relationships, we can only develop the beauty of our church if we come from a solid base. Matthew says in verses 24 to 27, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell away with a great crash." Pretty strong stuff. But it's something essential to all of this is solid base. For our relationships and the church to be successful, it needs to be set on firm and strong foundations, so we can withstand the storms that life throws at us as married couples, also with the church. And what this verse in Matthew does is prepares the way. It prepares us to take the challenges that lie ahead. However, there's one thing that is missing, and that's church fitness. As we read in verse 29, it says, "After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they fed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are all members of his body." You see, the body of Christ, in other words, the church, needs looking after. It's not going to look after itself. We have to do that ourselves. We have to look after the church. So we're talking about being healthy. Well, trying anyway. Now, I don't know how many of you remember when you were at school. Sadly, I went to school. However, during our school time, we were always made to go on cross-country runs. Does anybody remember doing their cross-country runs at school? I'm sure some of us do. I don't know about anybody else, but I hated them. And that's largely because I came last. In fact, there was another friend that I had was kind of close last to me. So I went to this school in Toaster, and I lived in a village called Greens Norton, which was about 2.5 miles away. We had to do the whole round trip. So off we set to Greens Norton doing this running. Now, typically, I'm hopeless at running, as was my friend. So frankly, we weren't really in the mood when it was a cold, wet November morning that we set off. So we set off with our usual lukewarm enthusiasm and relatively low anticipation of success. Or so we thought. It wasn't long before we were at the very back of the queue, everyone stretching out that way, while my friend bringing up the rear. However, as coincidence, a car kept passing us, in particular one car, and I looked it up, and it was a Vauxhall Chevette. Does anybody remember Vauxhall Chevettes? In fact, in the driver of the car was one of my friends. And I quickly learned to discover that their boots are fantastic. So it wasn't long before myself and my friend climbed into the car, and off we went. Well, eventually he dropped us in the village, and lo and behold, we were in the lead. We were there, we were in front, they were way behind us, so off we trotted. Well, of course, it wasn't long before everyone caught up with us, because we were pretty hopeless. And they were not really impressed with us. In fact, they were rather cross. And in fact, the teacher wasn't much happier either. But I'd like to try now to live healthily, whether it's running, walking, trying to do something, but sometimes my motivation does tend to disappear. My brain will always say, "Come on, let's go down the gym, let's go out for a run," and my body will go, "No, we're having a laugh, mate, not today." But it's that motivation, and in fact, if I had a report card, my report card would say, would need extra encouragement to focus on the activity in hand, could try harder. In fact, I sometimes think this is me after 2 minutes down the gym, but I do try. The point is this, that we can't cheat being healthy. We can't think that we need to put it off for another day. We can't treat it as just another idea. We have to try. And this kind of attitude of trying to be healthy is the attitude that we need to bring within our church. And when we try to encourage our church to be healthy, there is no cutting corners. We have to treat a healthy church, take it seriously, and act on it. It's our responsibility. It's not just Helen's responsibility or Kate's responsibility or the PCC's responsibility to keep the church healthy. It's all of us. We all come here. We all worship here. We need to make this church healthy. Because when we're long gone, when we've all popped our clogs, we want our children to be running this church, and their children to be running this church, and their children to be running that church. But to do that, we have to be healthy. Now, earlier on, I alluded that I have a dog. She's an insane dog. In fact, what she tries to do is climb the tree at the bottom of our garden, most days trying to chase squirrels. In fact, we have 5-foot fences going along our entire side of our garden, and she regularly jumps those, usually chasing after foxes or other animals that have a far better understanding of evasion techniques than she does. In fact, on one occasion, I took her into a deer park. Stupidly, I left her off the lead. It took me a while before I could get her back, other than seeing deers running here, there and everywhere. Frankly, she drives us mad. She doesn't listen, she's belligerent, she is stubborn, and she does what she wants. However, she's also very lovable, very protective, very loyal, very friendly, and incredibly compassionate. In many ways, that describes the church. In many ways, it has good points, it has bad points. We have to recognise both the great positives that our church has, but also the stuff that we could be improving on. You've probably heard a lot about healthy churches. There's a real drive for having healthy churches, not just within the UK, but worldwide. And I found some of these pictures, if you can see those pictures, the idea of what a healthy church looks like. Whether it's fellowship, discipleship, worship, ministry, or evangelism, all those things that we think that we can use to grow and keep our church healthy. I have to say, I found the next picture and I had 2 minds about where to show it because it actually is really quite cheeky, but it did make me laugh quite a lot. Sorry, Helen. Yes, I'll leave you to read that one. So practically, what does a healthy church really look like? Well, to be honest, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I don't think one person has all the answers. Because if we did, we'd be in a situation where the churches were full, but we're not. We're in a situation where the issue, where church attendance is declining. People are seeing the church as an irrelevant idea. But what I do know is this. No church can ever be healthy without basing it on God, but most of all, love. Jesus tells us in Matthew of the 2 great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these 2 commandments. We have to have God at the centre of our church. And as we come to the final verses in this passage, we are given our final instructions to be unified. And in verses 31 to 32, it says this: "For this reason, a man who leaves his father and his mother will be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church." In other words, becoming one in our relationships with our church. The term "one flesh" means just as our bodies are one, so when we are married, our bodies become one. It means we are no longer divided in two pieces. Karis and I are no longer two people, we are one body. But that's just not just about physically, it's emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, financially, in every other way. It's what God intended. He intended that in marriage relationship, but he also intended that for the church. We are one entity. We are unified. But that's a lovely image. For me, that is a really lovely image. Getting married last year was so lovely. It was just great fun. We've had a lot of fun times. We have a lot of excitement times. Whether that's walking up mountains or trying to stop the boat from capsizing. But then there's the important stuff, which we all come up against as married individuals. The nice thing is we don't have to do it on our own. We have each other to rely on. But we also have the church to rely on too. It's great being able to take on the world together with all its pitfalls and challenges that we face. It's a wonderful thing. But Paul encourages us to think beyond ourselves. He talks about unity within our church. Paul talks plenty about why it's important that we become one church, a united church. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, it says, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of your Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, that what you say and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought." Pretty powerful stuff. Paul reminds us all the time of the importance of being united. We can't do anything individually, but we can do a load more together as a church. But like being in our own relationships, we need to be one with our own church. And that includes the church and our community. It talks about being united, not the church being at the outside of our community, but at the inside of our community, at the very, very centre. But our church and our communities talk about love and the importance of love, and rightly so. It's the essential glue that holds us all together. But there is one word that I'd like to leave you with, and that's kindness. In some ways, it's the unsung word, it's the unsung message in this passage. And that's kindness. The one thing that Karis' parents taught us, or told us when we got married, was the importance of kindness. No matter what disagreements we may be having, being kind to one another is essential. And therefore it's essential that the church, us, is also demonstrates that kindness. Not just to each other, but also to our local communities. As I was trying to end this talk, I was kind of thinking, well, I need something to really to tie it together and just close it off. And I was listening to Chris Evans' breakfast show. And at 9:25, there's the pause for thought. And they had a vicar on there who was talking about the importance of kindness. The importance of kindness to enable the church to grow. The importance of kindness that people who don't know God, who don't know Christ, see church as loving and as kind. And he finished off with this wonderful quote. And I'm just going to finish it here. And it says this, by Mark Twain: "Kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Kindness is the language which the deaf can hear, and the blind can see. And this is all made possible by Jesus, because of his never-ending love and kindness for us. So as we go out of this church this week, let's just think about being kind to each other, both in our marriages, in our church relationships, at work, wherever we be, even though things may be slightly prickly at times. Amen.